bist ein Raider, der sich unter der Erde niedergelassen hat. Doch jetzt musst du an die Oberfläche zurückkehren. Dorthin, wo die Ark-Maschinen umherstreifen. Wenn du mutig genug bist, wer weiß, was du da oben findest. Ark Raiders. Ein Multiplayer-Extraction-Abenteuer-Videospiel. Jetzt erhältlich für PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X und S sowie PC.
Hey, denk dran, dass auch dein Immunsystem Hunger hat. Und probier's mal mit den Gesundheitszielen zur Ernährung in der App AOK Navida. Hol dir Tipps, Rezepte und Challenges für dein gesünderes Ich. Jetzt die App AOK Navida downloaden und loslegen. AOK Plus. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Jane doesn't mind an apartment with no elevator.
5 flights of stairs is 5 flights of cardio.
Bob is a little less enthusiastic about stairs.
I hate stairs.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle renters and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Jane and Bob found an apartment that's a 4-story walk-up. And Bob?
Yeah, there's a freight elevator she doesn't know about.
What were you talking about?
Oh, nothing.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
From the basement of the Bob and Tom Studios, it's That Josh Arnold Podcast.
Oh, hello there. My goodness. 12/15/20. That's today's date. Normally I say something like the second week of December, the third week of December, but I couldn't remember if it was the second or the third week, so I gave you the specific date in which I am sitting here talking. It looks to be the third week of December. I'm not going to bother starting over because, quite frankly, it doesn't matter that much. But what does matter is my guest this week. Holy cow. A person I've grown to really care about. But I'm happy they're here. With me this week, my guest is you! Oh, my gosh, how are you? Look at you. Oh, boy, you look good. And, well, I certainly hope you're feeling good as well. I'm a little cold. It's getting chillier down here in the basement. And the air is getting drier, you know? So it's just... I'm surrounded by concrete. And not a lot of insulation down here. So, it's getting cold. But I'm not complaining. I'm wearing my frock and my fuzzy slippers, and all is well. I'm very comfortable, in spite of being slightly cold. I hope wherever you are, you're staying warm, or if where you are is warm, your homeostasis is where it should be, which actually, by definition, is homeostasis, so... anyway, that's a big word, but it's not the word of the week. We're not quite to vocabulary station yet because I need to tell you about this week's sponsor. This show is sponsored by a pleasant smell. Oh boy, you know, you walk in somewhere and you smell the air. You go, oh, that is nice. Maybe it's a bakery. Maybe you walk into your home and there's some cooking going on. You go, oh, boy, are we in for a treat. There's some kind of baking happening, maybe cookies, you know, 'tis the season for those, or something in the crock pot there. Or maybe it's the summer, and you walk outside one morning, and your neighbors cut their grass, and, oh, man, that fresh-smelled, that freshly cut grass, that sure smells nice. And then you walk by the dryer vent, get a little whiff of... fabric softener. Oh, man. And whatever it is. I'd like to thank A Pleasant Smell for sponsoring us today. And one smell that I like is a fireplace with smoke. And something that smokes would be a... Jason, wait until you find out what I'm doing here. Something that smokes would be a steam engine, which would carry us right on into Vocabulary Station. Look at that. Ah, oh, boy, running smoothly on the tracks. Very smooth, like that segue I just had for all of you. I love this word. This is a good one. It's a noun. Of course, we all know that is a person, place, or thing. I don't have to tell you that. But I hope you get to use this word this week. It's something that could have a pleasant smell, that's for sure. Boy, the holidays. Man, you got to love all the food involved with them. And maybe you're trying something new. Maybe you're having some of your favorites. I hope both. And this word is certainly food-related. Noisette. Noisette. It's spelled like noisette, N-O-I-S-E-T-T-E. But it's pronounced noisette. And it means a fillet of meat or a loin, if you will, of meat. So perhaps tonight you're going to have some, maybe sort of beef medallions and scalloped potatoes. You could say, oh, Mom, these beef noisettes sure are delicious. And really impress her and or whoever you're dining with. You know what? I think tonight I'm going to have some catfish noisette. In fact, the next time I go to Cracker Barrel, I'm going to use this. I love Cracker Barrel very much. It's, truth be told, my favorite chain restaurant. And I will order the catfish noisettes and see what they say. I'm sure they won't be the slightest bit amused, and I'll have to go, I mean the catfish fillets, and they'll go, well, why did you say that in the first place? My gosh, and then I may have to switch servers. But I hope you get to use this word, noisette, a fillet of meat, or a loin of meat. Boy, this pork noisette sure is hitting the spot. What a fun word. I enjoy it, and I enjoy many things. In fact, what I enjoyed this week, oh boy, well, you know I enjoy this song. Look at this guy. He's all dressed up there. He's got his three-piece suit on, his hat, and he's headed to the butcher shop to get some noisettes for Christmas dinner. My, oh my, they're going to have a feast, aren't they? He's going to get, he ordered up some goose noisettes. And he's sure gonna have a good time with those. Well, anyway, I don't really have something I enjoyed this week. Why? Because this whole episode is going to be about things I enjoy specifically. And this question came to us from Jordan. He says, "What's your favorite Christmas movie and why?" So I'm going to, well, not just tell you what my favorite Christmas movie is. I'm going to tell you about 10 of my favorite Christmas movies. And you may be going, oh, geez, this is going to take forever. No, I'll try to be quick about it. I tend to ramble on, but I will try to do my best to stay succinct And this list is going to cause some controversy. I've left off some of your favorites, I'm sure, and I've included movies that some people would consider to be not good. But I can't help it. I enjoy them. And I'm not going to talk about television specials. I love the holidays television specials. Boy, all that Rankin Bass stuff, the Rudolph and all those, and then Frosty the Snowman, and you got your, well, boy, perhaps the best one, the Charlie Brown Christmas, which, you know, Apple TV made this, they bought the whole Peanuts catalog, and I'll be honest, it bummed me out a little bit. I think the Peanuts holiday specials are meant to be viewed on regular network television complete with commercials, and you sit down and you watch them as a family or, you know, whoever you're with, or maybe, you know, by yourself. And yeah, you those should be available to everyone. And I know Apple said, hey, we've partnered with PBS and we're showing them on PBS. And also you can get Apple TV or whatever it is, Apple Plus, for free for 3 days. The Peanuts things will be available. Well, you're still just getting us. That's not that generous of you, Apple. You're still wanting us to go to you, and then after the 3 days of free Peanuts cartoon, go, well, now we're going to subscribe. It's still a gimmick. But I am glad that they have made it available on PBS, because every family and every kid deserves to see those. I think those have almost become a right. First off, a rite of passage. Everybody should watch them, and second, a RIGHT right. It should be everybody's right to enjoy the magic of the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, and Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and of course, the Charlie Brown Christmas special, which is just wonderful. But like I said, I'm going to talk about. All of these movies received theatrical releases, and now they're shown during the holiday season on TV and cable, and some of these, you know, on all the streaming services or whatever. And I have the list here, and I don't really have them in any particular order. I do have three what would be considered non-traditional Christmas movies on the list, and I'll kind of save those for the end. But why not start off? These are movies that I try to watch every December. I don't always get through the whole list, but I definitely try to watch them, around the holidays. Christmas movies, and by the way, I apologize. Well, you know what? I don't apologize if you don't celebrate Christmas. There's no reason for me to apologize, because I do. What I should say is, I certainly don't mean to leave you out if you don't celebrate Christmas. That's not my intention here at all. And by the way, happy Hanukkah, whatever it is you're celebrating. Oh, gosh, I hope it's a terrific holiday for you. No matter what you're celebrating, it's just a great time of year. And again, no include, I do not mean to leave you out by any means. So, but I'm also not going to apologize for the fact that I celebrate Christmas. Anyway, first on the list, I think, is a favorite of many. It's Christmas Vacation. Boy, the Griswolds. How can you not celebrate? How can you not watch this movie over the holidays? It's just wonderfully funny, sweet, and it's a riot. It's got, Chevy Chase has somewhat of a negative reputation for being difficult and all that. But boy, when you watch him perform, that sure is easy to forget. He's so funny and really does some tremendous acting here. It's easy to dismiss as, oh, man, the slapstick and the comedy and everything. He puts a lot of heart into that role of Clark Griswold. And it's just so funny and so sweet. And, you've all seen it. I, if you haven't, my gosh, get out there and watch Christmas Vacation immediately. The next one is, maybe just as funny as Christmas Vacation. It's Scrooged with Bill Murray. I love it. It's a modern, I think like 1988, but a modern take on Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, of course. And he's the epitome of a Scrooge. He's a television executive who's quite a jerk. And my goodness, if being visited by three ghosts doesn't turn him around and get him to see the joys of Christmas. And that's another one that I, could very well leave you a little, less than dry-eyed at the end of it. You might choke up a bit. I know I do. It's wonderfully funny, and it's got a big heart, great performances. You might say the movie gets stolen by Carol Kane, who plays the ghost of Christmas Present. She's this very sweet sort of fairy, but she's totally physically abusive to Bill Murray. If you haven't seen that one, you're really going to enjoy it. And if you have, I hope you're watching it again. This is a number three on my list, and again, these aren't in particular order, but this is one that might be underseen, and some just think it isn't good. But I sure enjoy it. It's called The Ref, starring Dennis Leary and Kevin Spacey, who, you know, maybe we're not allowed to talk about. Whatever. He's in the movie and he's really good in it. And it was Judy Davis, and just a younger J.K. Simmons shows up at one point. And it's about this couple who's having real trouble. They're pretty much at the end of their marriage, and no longer, I mean, not only do they not necessarily love each other, they can barely stand each other. They've got some real problems. And Dennis Leary is a cat burglar who has to, in a pinch, he carjacks them, and they take him to their house, and he they're having family over, and he has to, in order to elude the authorities, he has to pretend that he is their marriage counselor and is spending Christmas with them. And this is one isn't necessarily a family movie. There's certainly a lot of salty language flying around, as you might expect from Dennis Leary. And and lo and behold, the family shows up, and there are issues with all the family members, and the main couple trying to get along, but they can't. And Dennis Leary being nervous about being caught by the police, and all of this comes together, and it's wickedly funny. It's very funny, and it's got a nice ending. And yes, if you've not seen The Ref, and you can handle a little bit of R-rated language, check it out. I hope you enjoy it. This next one, I unabashedly enjoy. I don't care who says it sucks. It didn't do well when it came out. I saw it in the theater and loved it, and it wasn't very well received by critics, but I get a kick out of it every time. It's called Mixed Nuts, and it stars Steve Martin and Madeline Kahn and the great Rita Wilson and Adam Sandler and Liev Schreiber and Robert Klein. It's got a hell of a cast. Gary Shandling shows up. John Stewart and Parker Posey and Juliette Lewis. I mean, it's loaded. And it was written and directed by Nora Ephron of Sleepless in Seattle fame. And she wrote the script for When Harry Met Sally. She knows what she's doing. And a lot of people consider this a misstep in her career. I can't help it. I really adore this movie. It's got a darker premise, but it's actually pretty light on its feet. Steve Martin runs a suicide hotline, and of course, they get pretty busy during the holidays, and they're also about to be shut down because it's a non-for-profit and they can't pay their rent. And all these characters collide, and in a wonderfully silly, farcical fashion, and it makes me laugh a lot. Adam Sandler is a weirdo in it. It's like young Adam Sandler, so he's sort of in that talking like it's very. I mean, that's pretty much what he's doing the whole movie, and he's got a couple silly songs that he does in him. But the pièce de résistance, if you will, of the movie comes, I think, and this isn't a spoiler alert, it's something just to look out for, when Liev Schreiber's character, who is a boy, I don't quite know. I guess you would say he's a transvestite in that he likes being dressed in women's clothing, and but he is a gay man in it as well. I'm sorry, I don't know the correct terminology, but he shows up, and he kind of crushes on Steve Martin a little bit, and all he wants for the holidays is to dance with Steve Martin's character. And Steve, being his character, being the nice guy that he is reluctant to do so, but he does it, and they have this dance number that is delightful. It's very funny and also very sweet. There's no there's nothing mocking about it or there's no malice involved in the humor that comes from, you know, a straight guy dancing with a gay guy who there's nothing nothing at all malicious about it. It's very funny and I hope you give Mixed Nuts a chance. I'd even be hard pressed to say that it's a good movie, but it is I really enjoy it. I can't help it. I like it. Next is a movie I watched for the first time last year, and it is maybe many consider to be the definitive Christmas movie. It's A Wonderful Life. I had never seen it. I had tried watching it in my 20s late at night, and I fell asleep. But over the years, I've come to really appreciate older movies. Turner Classic is on all the time at my house. My DVR is loaded with movies off of Turner Classic because I've just grown to love watching the earlier stuff. And It's a Wonderful Life. I finally was able to sit down and watch it last year. And it charmed the pants off me. It's great. Which, of course, it is. I mean, everybody says it's great. And it's as good as its reputation. And, oh, you know, it didn't hit me last year. And sometimes movies hit you in different ways at different times. Last year, it didn't hit me in the emotional way that I thought it would. Everybody talks about how they cry at the end or, that kind of thing. I will cry at movies, but it didn't hit me like that. And I haven't watched it yet again this year, but when I do, it'll be interesting to see if it hits me a little harder. But I really don't even need to talk. Well, if you don't know what It's a Wonderful Life is about, James Stewart is sort of at one point visited by a guardian angel who says, hey, this before you jump off this bridge here, which is what James Stewart's about to do, he goes, why don't I show you what life would be like if you didn't exist? And it's that old tale. So, a classic for good reason. If you've never seen it, check it out. If you have, I'm sure you'll be watching it again. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this favorite of mine, Home Alone. I love Home Alone. I think it's incredibly funny, and it has a special place. Well, a couple of these movies have a special places in my memories and in my heart. Home Alone, I remember my grandparents took me to see. I must have been 14, 15. And we went and saw it, and we howled, just loved it, especially that third act. And I recently went back and read some reviews on Home Alone, and it's surprising how, and these were reviews that came out then when the movie came out. These were the reviews, and it was there was a surprising amount of them who criticized the movie for being unnecessarily violent, and. Like a lot of more than one review said, hey, the movie's great up until this third act when it just turns into a violent slapstick. And in my head, even now, I'm going, you mean the best part? What? You didn't like when the the robbers get their comeuppance and all those wonderful traps and tricks that Kevin McAllister laid out for them are... They're being used to fruition, and it's slapstick at its best, and is it implausible? Of course, yes. This kid couldn't get away with this. There's no way that most of these things would have worked. But who cares? It's so fun to watch, and I even like Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. It's the same exact blueprint, and just slightly different, and it's still very good, sweet, funny, and Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, they just so funny. I did recently see, boy, what, 2 days ago, I saw that Home Alone 4, which was a, I had to look it up, it was a like Wonderful World of Disney special in the early 2000s. That was on, and I watched it, and I will not be talking about that in this list. But however, the first Home Alone and Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, I do very much enjoy. The next one I want to talk about is, and my goodness, I hope this is semi-interesting for you. If not, hey, we'll see you next week. You know, I'll be talking about some of my favorite Christmas memories. But if you are enjoying it, stick around. And this next one is also an older film, like It's a Wonderful Life. It was from 1949, and it's become a favorite of mine every holiday season. It's called Holiday Affair. And it stars Robert Mitchum and, I've got to take a knee here, a 22-year-old Janet Leigh, which, if you, do they get any more beautiful than Janet Leigh at a 22-year-old Janet Leigh? I mean, it's ridiculous how hot she is. Anyway, and I'm sure you ladies would go, boy, a 29 or a 30-year-old Robert Mitchum. I don't know how old he was during this. There's a good chance he was like 50 because that's sort of how it worked back then. Well, even sometimes today. But yeah, I'm sure many of you women would go, oh, boy, a young Robert Mitchum. I don't mind if I do leer a little too long. But a wonderful movie. It's very sweet. Holiday Affair. Robert Mitchum works at a store, and Janet Leigh comes in, and she's a spy. She's a spy for a competing store. And Robert Mitchum catches her being a spy. And he says, you know what, though? I'm going to let you go. And because of that, he gets fired. But they go on a date, and they end up, and she is sort of seeing another person. It's a little shady on Janet's part. But they, as you can imagine, they grow to like each other, and it's really, really romantic and nice, and just a sweet movie without being, you know, overly saccharine. It's a lovely film, Holiday Affair. You could pretty much watch it any time of year, but of course, Christmas. Man, oh man. The next three are, as I said earlier, non-traditional Christmas movies, and of course, one of those would be Die Hard. I try to watch Die Hard every December. And it was sort of a fun social media debate last year and whatnot of, is it a Christmas movie, is it not? Well, Christmas movies don't always have to be about, you know, the joys of gift giving and receiving and that kind of thing. If they take place during Christmas, I say they're fair game. Yes, they're Christmas movies. And there's certainly a lot to like with Die Hard. It's one of the greatest action movies ever made. And again, not one for necessarily for the youngins, if you're, if you'd rather them not see, you know, a lot of people getting shot or hearing the F word or whatever. But a fun, fun movie. And it didn't just launch that franchise. It pretty much launched that type of action film for years. I mean, the old joke is that every elevator pitch in Hollywood, which is elevator pitch being, hey, if you got one chance to be in an elevator with a producer and you only have 30 seconds to try to sell your movie to them, what would you say? And a lot of the elevator pitchers at the time were, hey, it's Die Hard on a plane, or it's Die Hard on a boat, that kind of thing. It's sort of mocked in the movie The Player, if you've ever seen that. But yeah. So it became the go-to model for action movies at the time, and there's a good reason. It's a great, great flick. Another Christmas movie. Well, I say Christmas movie, but Christmas is all over this movie, and you could watch it on New Year's because it ends, I think, New Year's Eve. Trading Places with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. It's, boy, this one is not for the family. Of course, the language, and this is also, oh my, I just realized. I talked about how hot Janet Leigh was in Holiday Affair, and when I say hot, you know, it's just a knockout, just totally gorgeous. But it might be more fair to use the adjective hot for her daughter, Jamie Lee Curtis, who is in Trading Places. And boy, is she in it. She doesn't leave much to the imagination in a couple scenes. And for some of you, that may be reason enough to watch. I'll be honest, a highlight of the... a topless. I'm not trying to be rude by any means. I want to be as respectful as possible because I really appreciate her as an actress and a person. And but boy, her topless isn't just a highlight of Trading Places. It was a highlight of the '80s, and is still a highlight of every December of mine. But that said, she's wonderful in this movie. She's such a great actress, and Aykroyd and Murphy are a riot, as are Ralph Bellamy and Donna Meachie, who play two very rich brothers, and they own a trading company, and they decide to place a bet. They say, hey, is a man the man he is because of hereditary reasons or because of environmental reasons? It's that old argument and philosophical and psychological and scientific debate. So they actually try it out. They take Eddie Murphy, who's a bit of a con man, you know, begging for money on the street, that kind of thing. It's not just that makes him the con man. He actually is sort of a con man. I don't want you to ever be walking down the street and see somebody down on their luck and just, you con man. That's not always the case. Anyway, I don't have to tell you that. You're a good person. So Eddie is a bit of a con man. And Dan Aykroyd is he's terrific for their firm. He makes them a lot of money. He's a very erudite and skilled at what he does. And rich and well-to-do, and they fire him. They fire him, and they ruin his life in other ways, and then they give his job to Eddie Murphy to see if it is indeed the environment that the man is in, or if these people just by nature are either good or bad or talented or not, or whatever. And the comedy doth ensue. It's really good stuff, a comedy classic, and... I tell you what, it is not Christmas for me until I have seen Dan Aykroyd hammered out of his mind in the filthiest Santa suit you've ever seen, sitting on a city bus across from some very rightfully so worried ladies, and he pulls a smoked salmon out of his Santa suit that he has stolen from a corporate work party, and he just starts gnawing on it, but it gets caught in his filthy beard, and it's one of my favorite sight gags. I love it. It's a simple laugh, but it's a big laugh for me. So check out Trading Places if you haven't. And the third non-traditional Christmas movie that I try to watch every December could be considered a horror film. You know what? I left off a couple horror films that I do like around the holidays. Black Christmas is genuinely good. Silent Night, Deadly Night is not so good, but it's kind of fun to watch if you're looking for the antithesis of the traditional Christmas movie, an axe-wielding man dressed as Santa. If you really want to be creeped out during the Christmas season, check out and there was a movie. I should have done some research on this, but I didn't even think to talk about it. It was in the 60s or 70s. It was a Tales from the Crypt movie where they had three different stories, and one of the stories was about a deranged lunatic, a killer who escapes from a mental asylum, and he dresses as Santa, and he terrorizes a woman in her home. And they did a... when the Tales from the Crypt TV show started on HBO, that was one of the first episodes, and it was directed by Robert Zemeckis, and who did Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Back to the Future and Castaway and a lot of great movies, and Forrest Gump. And the lunatic that plays Santa is a guy named Larry Drake, who was on L.A. Law, and he was in Dark Man, and he played a Dr. Giggles, the titular horror villain. A movie that's kind of funny, but you can miss it if you need to. And anyway, that version, the early 90s HBO, I believe it's called An All Through the House. If you check that out, if you just want a quick 25-minute creep out session, that's good. It's really good. It's effective. And he looks like an evil Santa. And that one will get under your skin a little bit. That said, the movie I got sidetracked, but what I was going to mention was Gremlins. Some people forget Gremlins is a Christmas movie. It's it could be argued that even Gremlins is a metaphor for commercialism run amok. That and the sequel are both kind of that. I mean, a kid gets a pet that has certain rules, and those rules, not necessarily the kid's fault or the young man's fault, but the rules get broken. And my gosh, the gremlins start terrorizing the town. And it's funny and weird and scary and, cute. Gizmo is cute before, he hatches a bunch of gremlins out of his back or whatever. But, well, he's cute throughout. And it's a fun movie, and it's considered a family movie, even though it might be fairly intense for some. But that is definitely a Christmas movie. And there's a really effective scene to one of my favorite Christmas carols, Do You Hear What I Hear? And the mother of the boy who owns Gizmo knows that something's in the house, and she's sort of stalking around and then slowly but surely discovering gremlins in her house to that song. And it's really well done. If you don't watch Die Hard or Trading Places or Gremlins during the holiday season, I don't blame you. They're again, not traditional Christmas movies. They just happen to be movies I like to watch in December. Now, some of you might be saying, Josh, how can you talk about Mixed Nuts and The Ref and not talk about Love Actually or Elf or any other of your favorite holiday films? Because they're not my favorite. I'll just be honest. Love Actually is a fine movie. Elf is fine. I know on the morning show, I joke a lot about how those movies suck. I do not think they suck. Oftentimes, I hope I'm not spoiling anything for a lot of you, but oftentimes on the show, one of us will speak more strongly about something than we don't feel that strongly about it, but for comedic reasons or dramatic conflict. I will say during the mornings that Elf, I hate Elf. It's not funny. It sucks. I don't really feel that way. It's fine, but it is. But it is not one of my favorites. I don't. I saw it once, and I feel like that was enough for me. I am going to give Love Actually another shot because I liked it. But man, everybody's telling me that I should be loving it, and I'll give it another shot. And I love rom-coms and all that stuff, but we'll see. But there are plenty out there. The Santa Claus movies, Fred Claus. I could tell you about the Christmas movies I hate. There are a couple I watched and just went, ugh. But there's no reason to get into that. Why would we celebrate? We don't. There's no reason to celebrate things we don't like. I think there's far too much of that. We're very quick to go online and talk about what we don't like. And I prefer to talk about the things I do like. And those are 10 of my favorite holiday films. I have a confession to make as well. Some of you may not like me after this confession, but that's okay. I respect your opinion, and if you need to walk away from me, the podcast, the Bob and Tom Show, and me for the rest of your lives, I will not hold it against you. But my confession is that during the month of December, Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries Channel and Up, the Up Network, those are on my television a lot during the month of December. I mostly have those made-for-television Christmas movies on during the month of December. And it's true. I'm not ashamed of it. Some of you think I should be, but I'm not. And I'll tell you why I have them on. They really set the mood. They're so happy, and they're almost naive in their positivity. And they're so wonderfully unrealistic and idealistic. And I like it. I like the scenery, and I like the sentiment, and I like, these things are very silly. They're all very much the same kind of cookie-cutter scripts and scenarios. They're getting more progressive now, which is great, and more inclusive. In fact, there was one recently. I'd have to look this up, and I don't know if I'm... This might be a bit of a high wire act for me to talk about. But the premise... I didn't watch the movie yet, but it was called something like Holly and Hanukkah or something like that. And the premise was that this girl does a DNA test. She does a DNA test. I just saw the commercial for it. She does a DNA test. And she actually says to somebody, she goes, I did this DNA test, and it turns out I'm 50% Jewish. And so then she starts studying about Hanukkah and everything like that. My question is, how does one's DNA show what... religious beliefs you have? Is there something in that test? I mean, I guess it could say like, hey, you're 40% Israeli. Is that what? Maybe I should watch it and find out. I'm wondering if that's a giant plot hole. If you want to celebrate Hanukkah, or if you, I don't know, if you're, aren't you half Jew? Don't you find out that you're 50% Jewish because one of your parents is? I don't know. I don't know if that's considered. Am I off base here? Is this a fair question? If you're offended by any of this, I got to be honest, that's your choice to be. I'm just asking questions here. And I'm sure most of you are more offended by the fact that I watch Lifetime Christmas movies than you are by me questioning the premise of this. But I also have to tell you this. I decided I was going to write one of these things. I went, oh, man, you know what? I'm going to write a cable Christmas movie and try to sell it to one of these many stations and get whatever it is, $10,000. I have no idea what they might pay for it. And then every Christmas just walk to the mailbox as it's shown in reruns 10 times or whatever. You know what I mean? And just make some royalty or whatever the deal is. And I went, what if I wrote a Christmas movie about somebody who didn't like Christmas movies? This might be cute, huh? These two girls, maybe they're sisters, maybe they're best friends. They sit down with their blankets and their wine or their hot cocoa or whatever. And the one woman is very excited to be watching these joyous Although, you know, maybe somewhat frivolous Christmas cable movies. And the other one is going, oh, how can you watch these? They're all so predictable. They're all the same. They're all so idealistic, and none of this ever really happens. But the next morning she wakes up, and my gosh, she's in one of these Christmas movies, and she can't believe it. And she has to try to maneuver through it, even though she doesn't like them, but she kind of knows the rules of them. And by gosh, if she doesn't fall in love and happily ever after, well, I sat down and I started outlining this film. Well, that's being generous. This movie or whatever, this television movie. And so I started outlining it out. And of course, I've got the cable Christmas movie on my TV. And I hear a commercial for, you know, coming up next week. And it goes, or the announcer goes, a Christmas movie Christmas. And I look up, and I'll be damned if it's not a commercial for the movie that I was just outlining. And I looked it up, and apparently this thing's like a year or two old. I know that I haven't seen it. I know that I haven't seen it, but there is a chance that I saw an ad for it last year or two. Who knows? If I didn't, look, it's not the most brilliant idea. It makes sense to me that there would be parallel, what's called parallel development or parallel thought. It makes sense to me that somebody else would have this idea. It wasn't a brilliant idea, but I thought it was a fun idea. And I thought, hey, maybe I can make a little side money or whatever. Well, it's already been done. And it looks like they nailed it. It looks like they took that premise and ran with it and just knocked it out of the park. So I'll watch it, and we'll see if it's as good. It probably has less penis jokes, I'll tell you that, than my script would. But anyway. All right, I'm getting out of here. This has been fun. I hope it's been a good listen. I enjoy talking about things I like, and I really like holiday movies, and I like the season, and I really like these movies, and I hope I know you have your favorites, and oh my gosh, watch them. Watch them, enjoy them. And maybe in my list there was a title that you weren't familiar with, or one that you were familiar with but you've never seen, and you think, you know what, that Josh Arnold says it's not so bad. Maybe I'll give it a look this year. I hope you do. And why don't we go right to what to work on this week? Oh, that's good. I knew it was different, but what I don't know, this is the traditional what we're going to work on this week music, for those of you who have listened to more than just this episode. I hope you've listened to more than just this episode so that you know that occasionally it can be listenable, but... anyway, what the heck? It's the holiday season. Things are meant to be light and enjoyable. I hope this has been a light, nice little podcast for you. And again, if not, then we'll see you next week. But, well, it's too late. It's over. You listened to the whole damn thing, didn't you? Anyway, what I'm going to have to ask Jason is, was that first bass line there, was that a mistake? Or was he just trying something new? But I did like it at first. Anyway... Here's what I would like you to try this week. You're probably getting gifts for folks, and some of you may have your shopping done. Some of you may be scrambling to get it done. Some of you might be waiting because you like to shop last minute. Hey, whatever you got going on, I'm cool with. But what I'd like you to do is, for at least one of your gifts, buy local. Get something from a small brick-and-mortar shop, or a gift card from a local restaurant, or heck, I would even consider something like, this wouldn't always be local, but maybe get something off of Etsy, something that somebody has created themselves, and they're selling, and, you know, maybe it's their full-time job, but maybe it's just a side job to get a little extra money around the holidays. Go ahead and make sure that one of your presents is something from your area and from something that's not a franchise or a chain. yeah, help some of these folks out and help yourself to something that you know is part of your community, part of your neighborhood. And yeah, I just think it's a very nice thing. I know I'll be honest. Most of the people I know this year, that's what I'm doing, getting them gift cards to one of their favorite local places. And yeah, I think everybody, it's something everybody, it's something everybody can enjoy. And you know what I love about gift cards is if you're in the position to do it, I'm not always in the position to do this, but boy, can you clean up yourself. What I mean is, I was at this place recently, and if you buy $100 worth of gift cards, you get an extra $25 gift card. And a lot of places like do that. And if you have the means, you can kind of like, if you're buying gift cards anyway, you can build yourself quite a stash of gift cards that you can use throughout the year. It's pretty awesome. I was able to do it at one place. It was a local pizzeria. And I said, I need a $50 gift card, please. And then I looked and I saw the sign that said, if you buy $100, you get $25. And in my head, I went, well, two people are going to get $50 gift cards from this place because I'm getting that $25. And that's what I did. So unfortunately, I'm not able to do that every place I go. But if you are, boy, oh boy, clean up. Anyway, buy something local, whether it be a tangible item or a gift card. It really is a nice thing to do. And next week, I normally don't preface what I'm going to, or preview rather, what I'm going to talk about on the next podcast, because sometimes I don't know, but I do know that I'm going to share some holiday memories with you all, and it should be nice. I sure would love it if you came back and shared these memories with me. I really do enjoy having you, and I enjoy hearing from you. joshpodcast@bobandtom.com. And thank you for letting me talk about some of my favorite holiday films. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 € Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes.